I win because I do what others won't do, don't do, can't do. Everybody else is going, here's how to do the thing. Step one, step two, step three. It's like, do you really care about them though? Because that's really the first thing that everybody needs is they need a friend. I get up to the point where I now have 250 employees in my construction company. Man, my engine has always been an 8-cylinder turbocharged engine. The problem is my engine was in the wrong vehicle.
Own your future. Because if you don't, someone else will. Welcome back to the Own Your Future podcast. I am so stoked for the guest we have today. You know, I shared this. I was with you recently at your group. You invited me over, amazing group of people. And I shared this, and it's true. There's a saying, be careful when you meet your heroes. And be careful when you meet people that have a certain perception. And when you get to see behind the curtain, so many times you're disappointed. In this case, it was the complete opposite. This is a guy that seemed to come out of nowhere. You know, you only seem to come out of nowhere when people don't know what you've gone through to get there, right?
Yeah, that's
it's
very
like
true.
It's like the overnight success in a movie, but you didn't realize they were doing summer stock for 10 years before they got their first role. But this guy seemed to come out of nowhere, and he's got an unbelievable following tribe. He's got a top podcast. He's got the most popular TV show on A&E called Triple Digit Flip. But what's even more impressive is his heart to serve. The father that he is, the husband that he is, the friend that he is. And we've been able to build a friendship for the last year. And I am so stoked to have him on the Own Your Future podcast today. Pace Morby, good to have you here, man.
Thank you, Dean. Appreciate you.
Yeah, this is fun. And it's so cool. You live 20 miles from here and we got to meet about a year ago and building a cool friendship. And I mean it. You know, at this phase of my life, you get to meet a lot of people. You get introduced to a lot of people. And there's nothing worse than I get to see you changing lives and this massive following and you call it the sub two community.
Yeah.
Man, they love you, obsessed. I've been to events where I got hired to speak and they're in the audience with your hat on and you come on stage and they lose their mind. That doesn't happen by accident. So today I really want to know how you went from the guy you were a decade ago to that. We'll get to that. How do you truly, I think I know the answer for you, but how do you truly build a community, not just a following of likes? You see so many people have a million followers, but they don't have this where they want to know, like, they trust you, they want to refer you, they want to work with you, they want to absorb if you write a book or do a podcast or do a training or a live event, they want to show up and support you. How do you get there? I think that would help a lot of people today. I want to talk about the balance of all you have going on and still being a dad and still being a husband. And you know the difference of being a good dad and a good husband and being a connected human to someone else, so you don't lose that intimacy, you don't lose that connection, you don't lose your kids when they're teenagers because you built the foundation. So I kind of want to dig into that as well. And I think you're the perfect person to do it. And I haven't let you talk yet, but I will in just a moment here.
I think we could all listen to Dean Graziosi talk all day long.
No, I don't know about that. But I just see some of the things here. You've done over 7,000 renovations in the last 10 years. 150 new builds, 200 wholesale deals a year. When it comes to real estate, you are at the top of your game. You're helping others do the same. Again, it's been amazing to watch, and I'm so proud. I'm so happy to have you here. I start the podcast off. We're only about 12 weeks in, and I'm so glad to have you here. This is the Father's Day edition. So
cool.
The perfect person to have on Father's Day.
I'm lucky.
Thank you guys at home. This week again, we are number one in the world in our category because of you. So thank you for subscribing. Thank you for following. Thank you for the likes. I want to start off by asking, what does Own Your Future mean to you? I started asking this in the first couple. I figured I'd run out, but everybody's got a completely different answer. What does it mean to you?
I mean, listening to Alex Hormozi and Barry just recently on the podcast the other day, it was just amazing. I take notes when I listen to your podcast.
Oh, good. Good.
It's amazing. So for me, owning your future, I think, comes down to options and being able to have those options. We talked about this right before the podcast started and being able to control your future through options. When I grew up, family of 12 kids, mom and dad still together, I had one option. It was following what my dad did, which was getting into construction, very similar to you, which was getting into automotive, repairing cars.
Yeah.
And that was the option that was in front of you. And it wasn't until I had somebody come to me. Her name was Bethany Willis. She grabbed me by my shoulders. This is about 10 years ago. And she said, you don't own your future. Your customers do. And I'm one of your customers, so I can say this to you. She said, you're a slave. Your business is a slave to my business. You do not own your future. I do.
Wow.
And it was a punch to the gut. I could have been offended by it, or I could have said, teach me.
Right. That this, when you're disturbed in those moments, you either put more of a shell up or you go, maybe they're right. And that's a hard one.
But the way she delivered it to me, much like the way you deliver to your audience and how much work you've put into the way you deliver a package, right? The way it's presented is super important. And she did it with nurturing and kindness and love. And she actually pulled me out of my truck. I was in front of my house, a house I was going to do renovations for her company. And she comes up behind me. She knocks on the glass. She goes, "Get the hell out of the truck right now."
Wow.
I'm like, "Whoa, what's up, Bethany?" I'd done two projects for her at that time. I was a big contractor for Open Door, Offerpad, Zillow. I was doing all their renovations. And this was the third house she was going to have me do an estimate for. She knocks on the glass, "Get the hell out of the truck." She opens up my tailgate. She says, "Sit down right here." And she grabs me by my left shoulder with her right hand. I still can feel like the burning talons in my shoulder. And she said, "Why aren't you in real estate?" And I said, "I am in real estate." She said, "No, you're not. I'm in real estate and you work for me." And she attacked and attacked and attacked, but she did it in a loving way. And then from that moment,
what a gift. Wow.
A gift.
What a gift.
And she still texts me today. She's like, "I'm watching your TV show. Oh, hey, I saw
so
this."
Amazing.
It's so unbelievable. And so
for
me,
make sure to send her flowers.
Oh, constantly. We love her all the time. I bring her up on a lot of podcasts, but she forced me to have another option. And for me, where I was and the background that I had, I needed somebody to push me through that little hole.
Yeah.
And now understanding how to not only have options, but how to create options out of thin air is how I control my future now.
Wow. I think it's such an important question. And it is so unique to each of us. And most of the time, we look through the lens of things we went through as a child, right?
I mean,
for me, I named this the Own Your Future podcast because as a kid, I watched the opposite of you. My parents were married 9 times. My dad, 4. My mom, 5. Divorced, unhappy, moving, and all that stuff. And I watched two people that didn't understand love, couldn't find it, love them both dearly, but they didn't know how to find love. They didn't know how to create money. So my parents had zero options. My mom married somebody. I know one of her marriages was to hopefully have more convenience in her life.
Interesting.
Comfortability. So no choices. She didn't own her options. She didn't own her future. My dad worked in a collision shop and made 30 grand a year. And everything was, I mean, there's some days I went to school without lunch money. Not saying poor me, but that wasn't an option he wanted. You know how he probably felt as a man looking in a mirror and saying, "I just dropped my kid off at school." There was one day he gave me nickels and pennies for the dollar lunch. And I wouldn't do it. I left him in the back of the car. I wasn't going to go to...
You were embarrassed.
I'm not going to take out pennies, right? As a kid, it wasn't that big a deal. I just scrounged off of some of my friends' plates. But as a man getting older, I look back at my poor dad, dropped me off and gave me nickels and pennies. You know what he felt like? He didn't own his future. So we all have our thing. And that's why I think this is such an important role, especially in today's crazy world where we're pushed apart, it's separated. We don't know where things are going. Uncertainty is a light word. I think it's more chaos. And those inner self-doubts, those inner insecurities, I feel have a magnifying glass. And it's time. That's why I love what you do. And it's time to shout from the rooftops, anything that could help somebody have a different choice.
Right.
And I, you know, before just going to talk casual. My daughter's here interning at the office and I wanted her to come in and meet you. You're someone that I really respect and I love what you're doing. And that wouldn't be with everybody. And I mean that.
Thank you. Happy for her to meet you.
And before she came, I said, don't leave yet until you meet a new friend of mine, Pace. But what did I say when she was here? I said, the reason she's here, you asked her what she was doing.
Yes.
Over the summer, she's going to work in 4 or 5 different departments. All I want her to do is figure out a potential to investigate so she has a choice.
You're giving her options.
Right? Because I think one of the craziest things in life, the hardest things in life is when you have to do something that you didn't choose, but you must. I think if I say that to you, if you thought about that long enough, and if you're listening, right, isn't that the worst punch in the gut?
The worst. I mean, I told you before the podcast started, I went and got a haircut today. The lady asked me as I'm sitting down, "What do you do for a living?" And somebody who's an entrepreneur, we have 700 employees between all of our companies now. How do you answer that question? So I just said, "Oh, I'm in real estate." The girl behind her says, no, Pace, tell her what you really do for a living. So she tells the girl that's cutting my hair what I do for a living. And she says, "Man, I wish I got into something like that." And I go, "Well, what's keeping you back?" But I already know the answer of what kept her back. It was the lack of options growing up.
Yeah.
And the fact that nobody had grabbed her by the shoulder and pulled her through the fire and said, "I'm going to force you to see a better future. I'm going to help you out." And there's nobody in her circumference, nobody in her community that is doing the things she wants to do. So here she is at 31. She asked me this question. It hurt me. I was like, oh, Elise, like that's such a painful question. She says, what if it doesn't work out? What if I choose to
mean life?
Right. What if I do decide I want to do more besides just cut hair and show up when somebody else tells me to show up and I choose that path and it doesn't work out? And I said, I stopped and I said, is it working out currently the way you planned when you were 16?
No, what a great answer you gave her, because when you said that choices, if you really go upstream, you know that that's what I always talk about.
You hit me right in the face when I heard that the first time.
If you think about upstream right now, so her lens, the glasses she has on, right? Her prescription says, I'm cutting hair, I'm getting by, but I'm not living into who I'm supposed to be. But what if I go do this other thing and fail? Right? That seems like there's no choice. I have to stay. So is it the actions that have to change or the thinking thought process to get the actions to happen? Because if you really think about it, at the end of her life, what will be more painful? The staying in the haircutting and the not knowing? Or the even if she tried and failed three times, at least she's failing into something that she can think of. So what you get, the advice you gave her was so powerful, because the first thing she has to shift is her perception about if it doesn't work. You hit the nail on the head. It's not working now.
Yeah.
You're talking to a stranger saying you didn't have choices. And then that conversation in my head goes to just switch out the word resources for resourcefulness.
Right.
Right. I mean, if you could give your kids any gift as they go into adulthood, when you leave and go off to heaven, wouldn't you love to say, I can leave because my kids are resourceful. Not just 100%. That you're leaving them all the wealth or abundance or handing off the baton to them. And I think that's one of the biggest things I hope people get from a podcast like this is, no matter where you are, no matter what happened, resourcefulness, a little shift in your mindset, a shift in your beliefs, a shift in your thoughts. And that's the only reason we do it. Now, take what serves you from a podcast like this, throw the rest away. But if one thing gets you disturbed with staying where you are, then we did our job.
Yeah. She says, well, where do I start? And I said, do you know who Tony Robbins is? Do you know where?
That's
do you
awesome.
Know who Dean Graziosi is? And she says, no, I've never heard of them before, which is just mind-boggling to me. Because in my world, you're the guy, right? And I have her write down the name. And I go, look, I can't solve this for you in 30 minutes. And I have to be somewhere. But what do you think has kept you back? This is an interesting conversation. She says, well, I really don't have a lot of time. And I go, okay, well, why? She goes, well, I have a son. I'm like, okay, well, there's people with children.
Yeah, yeah.
And have started with less and have become more. So what was the thing? And I realized haircut's about to end. I can't fix it.
You want to.
Like, I wish I could just stay for an hour and take you and show you here's what I do and here's how exactly how it works. And as I'm wrapping up, one of the girls in the barbershop, she says, hey, you're still going to come over to the bar on Saturday night at blah, 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 blah time. And she goes, oh, absolutely. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Yeah. Priorities.
And it just flooded into my brain. It's all I could think about. I talked to May, my assistant, and Eric on the way up here just for 45 minutes about how stressed out I was over that conversation. Because when you learn these things that you and Tony talk about, all you want to do is show other people.
You do. It's addicting.
It's addicting. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. You could go from here to here within a decision. 1 second.
Okay. So I got a question for you, right? So you had, what was the woman's name that grabbed your
Bethany
shoulder?
Willis.
Bethany. So thank God for Bethany, for you, right?
For real.
But we don't all need a Bethany. A podcast like this, a book, anything could just spark the being disturbed with leaving your life the way it is. I think all, you know, I just talked to Tom Bilyeu on an earlier episode. Amazing guy. I love Tom with Impact
Unbelievable.
Theory. And we talked about going to the dark side. And I want to share this with you. I want to get your opinion. The dark side is, yes, for health reasons and for alignment and your chakras and your alignment with spirituality or God, we should focus on a compelling future, a better version of ourselves. Sometimes that's not enough.
Sometimes
you got to freaking dig in and go, if I don't, I'm going to be stuck cutting hair for the rest of my life and tell strangers for the next 22 years how I hate my freaking job. Or me, my father thought I was crazy and a dreamer. I got to go look at my dad and have him tell me I was right. Or my friends that thought I was nuts, or that my kids won't have choices, or I can't control my own calendar so I can go to baseball practice and softball. And when we're done today, I'm going to go have late lunch with my daughter. If I wasn't in control of my calendar, I couldn't do that. I'd rather die for that. So my whole point is sometimes, and this is what I said in the podcast, and I want to hear your thoughts. Sometimes, you know, in cars, because you know cars, nitrous oxide makes a car go faster. right? But you only use it when you need it. If you just held your button on the nitrous oxide button, the car would blow up. I think of that as the dark side. Like, yes, I want to gain all this stuff, but if I don't do this, I'm going to die with regret. Everybody's going to say he settled. He was complacent. He was lazy, or she didn't do this. And I have no problem hitting that ugly, the dark side button and going into, I can't be with my kids. I won't control my time. I'll lose my relationship with my wife. I will feel that pain. Maybe a therapist would tell me I'm nuts, but that dark side gives me a nitrous oxide or turbo boost to get the rocket off the ground. Do you ever go to the dark side?
Dean, I have, mine's darker than that. Way darker than that. I had, when my daughter Corbin was born, I received a letter in the mail from one of my biggest customers, and he was filing bankruptcy on me and $42 million worth of his contractors. He was running a Ponzi scheme, and I was caught in his Ponzi scheme. So what I was doing is I'd go do $100,000 of renovations for him.
Yep. You'd and fund it and wait to get your money back.
Right. So he'd do a flip. I would fund the flip, and he wouldn't argue about my prices, which was great. So I'm thinking on paper, I'm making money. And this went on for 3.5-4 years and got me to a point where I was now well over $1 million into this guy.
Oof.
And he says, just trust me, I've got 3 more houses. If I can finish these houses, I'll get you paid back. Plus, I'll give you even a $100,000 kicker. And I'm sitting here, I got payroll.
And you want to trust them?
Oh, bro. The thing is, you trust people because you assume they're going to operate the same way as you would operate. Mm-hmm. So I get a letter in the mail saying he's filing bankruptcy, and I'm the second largest creditor on that list. And I didn't tell my wife. Why? Because we just had our baby four hours ago. And I get this letter saying you're losing everything. And I ended up having to sell my house to cover my payroll. And I then ended up selling a couple of my rentals to then pay my payroll for 3 or 4 months. And I said, I'm out of the business. And it wasn't people, a lot of people go, oh man, you're inspired by all these things. I go, you know what it was? Is I maybe this is too dark, but I felt like I wanted to put my foot on the throat of that human being that put me in that situation. And you and Alex Hormozi said something on a podcast you did with him just recently. You said, get so big that person that did whatever, said whatever, held you back, however, can't ignore you.
Yeah.
And I'm so big now in that regard that gentleman is afraid to see me at the grocery store.
Yeah.
He's afraid to see me at a real estate meetup. He's afraid to see me anywhere. And that's the nitrous that every once in a while, when I feel like I got to pump through, I push that button and I pop that guy's face in my brain, and it pushes me through some of the hardest moments of being a business owner.
Well, thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that. And it's not too dark, because especially in my 20s and 30s, what got me is I didn't want to be my father. My father went through 4 marriages in his fifth, 11 brothers and sisters, didn't talk to any of them. They're mostly gone except for one. Didn't talk to his father when he died. Wasn't talking to his mom when he died. Doesn't talk to my sister. My dad was physically abused. The youngest of 12, got it the worst, and never went and kind of worked out those issues. So he had pent up anger his whole life. So he fought with everybody, and I hate confrontation to this day. I can't even watch a fight. I don't watch MMA. I can't. I watch my dad fight so many things that it disturbs me. I can't watch. I don't mean people watch on YouTube or watch a fight. I can't see any of that stuff because it reminds me of that. But my point is, my dad's 87. I'm the only man he talks to. I support my dad. I take care of him. I forgave him. But my dark side is, if I don't run away, if I don't learn new strategies, I could fall into being him. No money, no family, no love. Can't keep, his own daughter doesn't speak to him, just being honest. And that was my dark side. Whenever I didn't want to get up, whenever I got turned down, whenever people, friends and family talk about you, when you're told you can't, when the money doesn't come through, the partner robs your money, you look in the account, there's nothing there and you got no place to go and you got to use credit cards to get through, and you don't tell your wife that you're juggling like crazy behind the scenes and you're pretending to go to sleep at 10 o'clock at night. When she falls asleep, you go in the other room and stress and count the money.
Have you been spying on me?
Yeah, and see how you're going to get through and what you could sell without nobody knowing, and say, let's sell the house. We'll build a new one in 2 years, but we just need this transition. Nobody sees that invisible.
No.
And I like to talk about it because there's people listening right now and said, are you looking at my diary? No, we all experience it. We all have the human condition. It's just the subtle little shifts that make the difference. You know, another thing I want to ask you. your success right now is on fire. I mean, it pays. I've been in this industry for a long time. The way you serve, the way you care about people, the results you're getting from, the work ethic you have, the heart you have, you've come so far and you've yet scratched the surface. I see where you're going and I love it.
Thank you.
So when someone hears this or sees this and you know, what you say, over $150 million in assets, like insane. People from the outside say, ah, he's past the worry. He's past the insecurities. He's past questioning himself if he's good enough to be in this room.
Yeah.
What's something that still pops up on the inside for you that no one would think?
I operate out of a lot of fear, similar to what you just said, if I don't stop, if I do stop, this all comes crumbling down. Which is the weirdest thing. It just is an old mindset that I have to get rid of. And of course, you and I have been friends for a year, but I still get nervous being around you. I got nervous coming into the podcast. I think a lot of people assume that you've reached a point where you don't worry about those things. I worry about them as much as I used to worry about them. The problems are way bigger today than they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. They're bigger. I'm just more equipped, or I have a better team, I should say, to help me equip myself with solutions to them. So for the people out there like, oh yeah, he's reached that pinnacle, I worry about losing it all too.
Yeah,
just like you did. You said this on a podcast too. You said, I feel like if I stop, I'll lose it all and I'll become my father.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to motivate you. I think most people are like, oh, Pace is heading towards something. He wants to become a billionaire. And I'm like, no, being a billionaire is not my goal. My goal is not being that guy.
Yeah, same here. Right, and no, it's so great that you say that, because I don't focus on it every moment of my life. I bring it up now so other people can see that this is being human. This is part of the journey. I focus more on where I want to go, but I'm not afraid to go to that side of what I want to run away from and what I'm fearful of. And so let me ask you, so you still have the fear of losing it all. I don't think you're ever going to outgrow that, no matter how old you are, but it will soften and it's a good reminder. It evolves to being I know what that felt like, and I don't want to go back there. And because of the business you're in of helping others, it reminds you that you could have been that hair cutter. You could have been the guy still doing houses for somebody else. I still could have been, right now, I could have been the best collision shop owner in upstate New York. I might have had three of them by now.
Man, your customers would be so motivated.
I might have had three collision shops by now, right? And I'm not knocking a collision shop. I'm just saying I knew I was meant for more. And I couldn't stop. I just knew I had to go there. So I appreciate you sharing that. And you know, one thing on the other side, what's one thing about success that, you know why I asked you this? Because you're not, and neither am I, right? You're not the Lambo guy. No. That's not you.
You and I both drive a truck.
I know. I saw you come in. Your Ford's actually a little fancier than mine.
Yours was fancier than mine, but mine just hit 8 years and I was like, it's time.
I love the truck. I saw it when you pulled in. But what's one thing about success or a byproduct of the success you have that you didn't see coming?
Realizing that it was never going to be about me. It was always going to be about the other people's lives that I changed, which is interesting because I was so afraid to hire my first employee. I was so afraid. Do you remember when you hired your first employee?
Mm-hmm.
I had to have somebody force me. John, shout out to John Bohm. I hired a mindset coach. He was $500 an hour to sit down with me at Starbucks. And he sits down with me 30 minutes, changes my life, helps me out. Second time I go to meet him, it's in a Starbucks, paying this guy $500. He stands up before I can get over the table and he says, you're fired. I go, what the hell are you talking about? I'm paying you $500 to hang out with you in a Starbucks. What are you talking about? You're firing me. And he said, I go, hold on. Why is he firing me? So I said, John, why are you firing me? He goes, because I can tell by the way you walked in here, the lack of self-respect you have because you didn't follow through with what you promised me last month. He could tell with my body language. He's now the head mindset coach of the Arizona Cardinals. So I was lucky enough to have this guy in my life. He says, I'm sick of your bullshit. Pull out your phone right now. We're going to hire somebody right now. And he makes me put an ad out.
Wow. Good. Smart enough for you to get a coach to push you like that though.
Dean, I wasn't smart enough. Somebody else told me, if you don't get a coach, this is going to happen to you. Again, it was the nitrous. Yeah. It was the negative things that drove me. And so John makes me hire somebody. I hire a girl named Anna Martinez the next day. She triples my business within 30 days. And what it was, it was really simple things. Like somebody was picking up the phone when they should have picked up the phone. I was a contractor. My phone was in my pocket. I was installing a toilet. I was doing all the stupid things myself. I didn't value my time.
Yeah.
Anna came into my world and changed my entire life. Here's the answer to your question. The part that I wasn't expecting is that that entire 8-year journey with Anna, she's no longer with me. The payoff was when she realized Pace showed me a world that I didn't know existed. She went out and started her own business.
Wow.
The company bought her a house, and just watching the fruits of all of our team's labor to create that. Now she's out on her own, building her own thing. I'm like, that was my life's purpose. It wasn't me making more money or doing whatever. It's putting other people on and showing them that they have something in them that they didn't see before they met me.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable when you understand the shift. And you've heard it a million times, so I'm just a reminder service today that the fastest way to wealth and happiness is helping other people gain wealth and happiness.
It sounds,
or abundance, or joy. It sounds too cliche. It sounds fake. Yeah. It sounds fake. So I got to ask you. So you went from contractor to houses, doing your own, right?
Yeah.
The tap on the shoulder, the grab, the claw on the shoulder, right? What made you think of transitioning into helping others, right? It's the journey. It's the same journey I was on, right? It's like you don't know what to do. You're insecure. Then you take the uncomfortable action. And you're like, holy crap, I'm not that smart. I'm not the smartest guy in the room. At least this is the way I felt. I'm not saying with you. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, not the richest guy in the room, but I was able to do this.
Yeah.
Crap. I bet you I can help other people do it. Was there an epiphany? Was there a moment? Was it a slow transition? You got the hottest show on A&E. Like, how did that all come together?
Everything, even the show, I'll tell you how we got the show in a second. That will answer the question. But Bethany Willis, she saw me working hard. I had a lot of employees by this time. I hire Anna. I get up to the point where I now have 250 employees in my construction company. Man, my engine has always been an 8-cylinder turbocharged engine. The problem is my engine was in the wrong vehicle.
I love that.
And it wasn't until Bethany told me.
Wow, that's good.
Bethany says to me, she says, your engine is one of the most powerful engines I've ever seen. And you're wasting your time. We need to get your engine in a different vehicle. And from an auto body guy, you understand this. It's like you see people dropping engines in old cars and making them way better than they ever were. And so she transitioned me into real estate. Dean, this is the funniest thing. You think that I would have an epiphany and go, real estate's the thing. What I did is I was still addicted to working for other people.
Yeah.
And people go, man, what was it? And I go, I didn't believe in myself. I still didn't believe in myself.
I was going to say that before you said, because you don't. And then you get stuck in that kind of, well, this, I have no risk and they're cutting me the check. That is all on me. What if I fail? What if I do
thought
it wrong?
I thought I had no risk. When you introduced me and you said you have 7,000 renovations, Dean, that's only a reminder to me that I did 7,000 renovations for other people because I believed in their choices over believing in my own.
Really good observation.
So when you introduce me with 7,000 renovations, I almost want to cower a little bit. Go, that's a reminder for 10 years I didn't believe in myself.
Yeah.
I believed in somebody else's decisions that I had no control over, didn't own my future.
Yeah.
Bethany Willis comes in like a mother, grabs me by the shoulder, shows me another option. And for 2 more years,
you were dabbling.
I was doing real estate. Here's the thing. In my first year in real estate, I made like $500,000. And I poured that money into my construction company to invest in other people's businesses. Wow. That's how little I believed in myself. And it wasn't until the guy, John files bankruptcy that I said, hold on.
You're not in control.
I'm not in control.
Yeah, it was an illusion.
It wasn't all an illusion. And it was the greatest thing that happened for me. You said this the other day at my mastermind. You said, guys, it's not this stuff didn't happen to you. It happened for you. And your story behind that changed the whole room. Like I told you, 2 hours after you left, my entire community was talking about how you impacted them in 45 minutes. And that was probably one of the biggest things was life is happening for you, not to you. So here's what it was. I get filed bankruptcy on. I go, I have no control. I need full control of my future. So I was already doing the real estate stuff. Why the hell was I?
Right. You had an illusion.
An illusion. And I didn't believe in myself. And so I took, here's what it was, Dean. By that time, those 2 years, while I was doing both construction and I was doing real estate, I accumulated 3 or 4 really good friends. three or four really good friends. So when I got that bankruptcy letter, all I did was double down on those relationships. And those guys were now my new Bethany Willis. They then took me through the next step. And so for me, where I got into the point where I thought I could help people is one day, I don't know how much time we have, but this is a really good story. I'm now full-time real estate and I get an opportunity to buy a house here in Phoenix, Arizona from an owner that lives in Denver, Colorado. His wife is falling sick. It's their second home. He wants to get rid of it. Him and I, through good rapport, remember, real estate is never about the house. It's always about the relationship with the seller. You know this better than anybody else. So I get good rapport with him. He says, all right, here's the price, $200,000. I'll sell the house to you for $200,000. But I need you to come and meet me in person so we can sign the deal and I can shake your hand and look you in the eyes. I go, oh yeah, no problem. I'll send a mobile notary to you. He goes, I didn't say send a mobile notary to me.
He said, I want to see you. Wow.
I go, okay, wow, all right. So here's what happens. I go on to a website thinking, how do I avoid going from Arizona to Colorado? I go on a website looking for somebody to help me in Colorado. It's a forum. It's a really big company. They're like the Goliath in the industry. And I go into their forum. It's not a community. It's a forum. Very big difference. And I go into this forum and I go, hey, I need help on this real estate transaction. I need to meet the guy, tell the story. And I get ridiculed. You should do this and you should do that. And why are you blah, 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 blah. Okay, so I'm thinking I don't have any help. The owner of the property calls me Thursday morning. He goes, hey, I'm giving you till Friday, 5 p.m. to come meet me at this house. If you're going to come up here, great. If not, great. And I go, don't worry. I'll be there or my partner will be there. An hour later, I get a call from somebody off the forum. He goes, hey, just got your number, saw your post. I can go meet the seller for you and I'll tell him I'm your partner. So this is what he does, Dean. He prints out my post on the forum where I say, I need somebody to help me and pose as my partner, be my JV partner on the deal. He prints it out and goes to the homeowner's house and says, Pace is asking for people to help him. He's not actually serious about buying your house. Let me buy the house from you.
Oh my God.
Right. Here's what's cool about that guy. His name's Steve. Steve, the owner, calls me up and he says, I just want to let you know that I'm a man of my word. I promised you that if you could meet me by Friday at 5 p.m., I'd sell my house to you. But I want to let you know this guy off this website that you found, he's not your friend. Oh, that rung so true for so long. And here's what happened. So I go, all right, I'll go get a flight. By this time, there's no flights. And by the time I would fly there and drive up, he's 2.5 hours away from Denver. So I'd have to get a car, rent a car, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't get there on time. So what I did is I got in my Prius and I left at 3 o'clock in the morning and I drove all the way up to his house. I got there like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Denver time, signed the deal. I get the contract done. And all right, now I got a 16-hour road trip on my way home. Here's where the payoff was for me. That whole entire 16 hours home, all I could think about was, where is the community of Bethany Willis's helping other people get into this business? Where's the group of people I can rely on? If I get a lead or an opportunity in Florida, who can I ring on? Who can I text? Who can I reach out to that I can truly rely on? And so I said, if it doesn't exist, I need to build it. I need to be the Bethany Willis to other people. And that was the moment. The moment I got screwed over, somebody stabbed me in the back, went and printed out my freaking forum post and showed it to this guy was the moment I go, I need to be Bethany Willis. I need to be a bigger Bethany Willis. And so for 16 hours on my drive home, I voice memoed myself hundreds of ideas of how can I build a community of people that no matter where I am in the country, I can get a deal done in 5 minutes. A phone call, a text message, somebody can go on appointments for me, do all that stuff. And
that where the greatest things come from is to solve your own problem and then amplify it.
Yeah. And I had an example. Bethany Willis was my example. So here's what I did when I got home. I go home and I go, all right, I'm going to go on Instagram stories. And I go, I'm going to take people on appointments with me. Meet me at Circle K, 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'll take you around for 12 hours. I'll go to projects with you. I'll show you how to raise money. I'll show you, you know, how I source this and all that kind of stuff. How many people showed up the first time? Zero. Yeah. Zero people show up. So through the week, nobody shows up, but I'm posting about it. I'm like, man, the people that were with me, they got so much value. And next week, how many people showed up? Three. Three people show up 6 o'clock Saturday morning at Circle K, right down here off Priest.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I've got people that I can put on my stories and show, hey, look, Debbie is with me and she went on an appointment. Following week, I do it again. 63 people show up to Circle K at 6 wow. o'clock in the morning. Circle K calls the police on me. What the hell are you doing? What is there a fight going on here? I go, no, I'm just taking people on real estate meetings. And they're like, go do it somewhere else. So we went across the street to a parking lot and somebody brought a whiteboard in and I started whiteboarding. Here's what I'm doing and here's how I'm doing it. And, da, 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 da. And we started just loving on people and doing the Bethany Willis move, grabbing them by the shoulder and said, I'm going to show you how this yeah. business works. And I got addicted to that because then you get people the next week come back and go, I got my first deal. I did my first thing. I hired my first employee. I got my first yeah. office. And you're like, I have somebody in my community that met their wife at one of these parking lot meetups. They now have a child.
Wow.
And it's just, you see that and you go, this is why I was put on this earth.
Yeah. Listen, it's so many great, I have 6,000 things I want to talk about in that story. One, I believe we are heading into a deeper version of, you could call it reciprocity, you could call it value first, more than... My grandmother taught me when I was little, I grew up with her more than any other parent because my parents were married and divorced so much and moving, I just went to Graham's house. And one of the greatest lessons she ever taught me was, I can't hear what you're saying because what you're doing is too loud. And yeah. as she also used to say, she was Italian, she was born in Italy, Italian, Americanized. She came when she was a little baby to America, but she used to say to me, don't ever tell people what you're going to do. Just go do it.
Yeah.
They'll see it. And probably that lesson I said with Alex Hormozi, that came from my grandmother. It's like, just get so, do it so well, they can't ignore you, right?
Right.
And what I love about what you just said is the reason you grew so quick is you didn't come up with a scheme or a strategy or this, you just went with your heart on how do I serve first. And I think that's going to be the only companies, if you have an online company, if you're a coach, a course creator, you're going to write a book, you want to do a podcast, deliver value first and have the nerve to say that I am going to do so well, even if nobody shows up day one, two will show up day two, and maybe 64 will show up the third time you do it, because you delivered value in advance. You didn't expect anything in return at first, right? You built a reciprocal relationship. You built a company. You ended up with A&E. You have an amazing podcast, trainer. I mean, 700 employees. But I think that the greatest lesson people could get is service first. And that's where we're going. We're not in this, hey, I have something great. And if you go behind the curtain, you'll get it. Man, you got to bring a lot out in front of the curtain these days.
Oh, yeah.
And they go, if Pace will give me that much free in a parking lot, I'm following this dude.
And we still do it. Yesterday, I posted on my Instagram. I said, the first two people that do these two things, it was like subscribe to YouTube and send me a DM. I will fly you anywhere in the world to come meet me and I'll give you a tour of 160 unit we just got under contract and 140 unit we just got under contract. I do this weekly. Last year, I traveled 71 times to speak on stage. One of those stages I shared with you, a couple of them I shared with you. And what I do the day before and the day after the stage appearance is I take people out into the local market and I show them how to do the business.
God, it's so good. And here's what usually happens when someone gets to the level you do. You get so many things on your plate that you actually stop doing the thing that got you there in the first place. So advice I'd give you is pick the things that are your core competency that make you stand out from everybody else and get someone to do everything else.
Yeah.
You know, everything else. Because what happens is sometimes the person who's a great storyteller that wants to serve and they're a great storyteller, they get so big, they hire someone to write their stories. The person who knows how to teach, I don't want to teach you, hire someone to teach. And all of a sudden you get to $100 million, $200 million company and you watch these companies chomp down and within 5 years they're gone is because that unique thing that got you here, that got you out of Egypt is the thing that's taking you to the promised land.
Right.
Don't outsource that thing.
Yeah, I had this, I actually posted this on my Instagram stories today, said, I win because I do what others won't do, don't do, can't do.
Yeah.
And I choose those three things every single day. And I look at it and I go, what are the things that other people won't do? Well, they won't take, are you kidding me? They don't want to sit in a car with somebody they've never met before and take them on an appointment. What if I fail at the appointment? Now these people that think I'm this magical TV star, YouTube guy, they watched me live fail at an appointment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. That is the greatest success is showing people that
reality.
You should fail.
Yeah.
And then I leave those appointments and I show them, here's what did I learn through that appointment? What could I have done better? And I do that, and all my competition, who are all my friends, by the way, right? We all are friends with our competition. They go, man, how did you do it? I go, how much time do you have? Because it's going to take you 6 years to understand how much I served.
And are you willing to do it?
They're not. They're not willing to do it. They're not willing to do it. And every single person I hire, even like May, she's a new hire for me. First job description at the top of their list is, how can you take 2 to 5 hours a week off my plate?
Yeah.
And let me focus on being the storyteller.
Then,
and the teacher.
Then you have it. Then I didn't even need to give you that counseling.
But you did. I take notes from you. I told you your team, Bianca and Nicole and everybody else, we take notes from you, and I get to learn from you. And that's the thing, I get to watch, and I'm just taking notes from your playbook. I appreciate it.
No, great. And so here's what I'd say for those listening right now that want to expand their business, build a tribe.
Yeah.
It's always that. How did you get there? And I think everybody's expecting, I always joke, like you pull out a magic box out of your back pocket. It's like, you want the secret to building a tribe that loves you? It's like, oh, like rainbows and God light shoots out of it. It's never that. It's always the little things that are cumulative that add up.
Yeah.
But if you were going to give some advice for somebody starting a new business or wanting to scale their business, and they want to build a loyal following that refer them, love them, would do anything for them, what are some steps that you would share?
I was traveling around the country speaking at an event in Atlanta, Georgia, 5 years ago as my brand was starting to take off. And the guy that I was speaking on his stage was the biggest guy in the real estate industry at the time. And he comes up to me and he says, you're doing it all wrong. How are you going to scale this? And again, going back to the nitrous conversation, most of the things that push me through are those little poisonous things that people say to me, and I pull them out of my pocket and I hold them tight. And so I said, how can I focus on the non-scalable items, the true connection with people, right? How can I, here's the things that I'll do. I'll tell people, DM me a question, and I'm the one that answers them, but I answer them in a voice memo. I say their first name. I did 600 of them this morning before my day started.
Do the things others are unwilling to do.
The non-scalable items, and hire the people to do the scalable items and the non-scalable items you should be doing. And look at people in the eyes. Here's an interesting thing. This is a hard, you can't check the box. This is a hard thing, in my opinion. I get a guy that comes to me 2 years ago, comes into my community, goes through a divorce, falls away. About a year and a half later, he comes back and I go, hey, Jeff, how's it going, brother? Blah, 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 blah. He goes, you remember me? I go, how could I ever forget? And my entire tribe, my entire community sees that I do that with every single person. And I remember their names. I remember the challenges they're going through. Just like you're taking notes. It's like, ooh, Jeff, what you're going through right now could help 1,000 other people if we could tell the story properly. So remember everybody's name. Understand their situation with their spouse. That's honestly the hardest thing, is not the strategy. It's not the technique. It's always what your customer, your consumer, your community member, whoever it is, what they're going on behind, what's going on behind the scenes. Everybody else is going, here's how to do the thing. Step one, step two, step three. It's like, do you really care about them though? Because that's really the first thing that everybody needs, is they need a friend.
Oh my gosh, so good. So good and so true. There's two words I wrote down. Most things that make a business like yours succeed, I've just seen this in my own career. Like, you know, I started 27 years ago. I did infomercials only because there was no other outlet, right? And I would watch people literally do an infomercial word for word as mine. And they'd come in and they'd buy my media. So when I used to play on CNN or Fox or Discovery Channel at 5 a.m., they'd say, oh, Dean must be doing good there. They'd preempt me. It was called, they would spend $5,500. Where I was spending $5, they'd spend $55 and the TV station would push you off the air. So you'd think you're going to spend X in media for your team. All of a sudden, there's a week where there's an infomercial that looks like yours, sounds like yours. They transcribed it and they bought your media. And I remember the first couple of years in business, I'd freak out. Like I'd go dizzy, like numb, because my whole life was in this business and I was funding it and trying to grow this. And all of a sudden, somebody preempted me and the show looks like mine. I remember thinking, how could they do that? Should I call my lawyer? And then over time, wisdom gives you history. And I'd say, they got the advertising, but they don't care. They don't have follow-up. They won't serve them like I do. They aren't willing to do what I do. I sleep 5 hours a night because I want to serve people. Am I perfect? Hell no. But always growing and always trying to figure out how to make things better. And I feel blessed when you tell me you get to witness some of that, right? The person I am, if I'm not embarrassed of the man I am next year, if I'm not embarrassed of who I was a year ago, I'm not growing, right? But in the moment, I was doing the best I could for those clients. And I knew after time, that guy will be gone. He got the advertising, right? But he doesn't care. He doesn't serve. He's not willing to do the things I'm doing. And over time, I'd see him like, my team would freak out, like, be gone in a month. Don't worry about it. So I call that the invisible. And it's the things that you are hard to explain that someone else isn't willing to do.
Yeah, that's I call that the non-scalable item.
Yeah, like the invisible. You knowing someone's name, knowing Jeff when he came back after a year and a half and he went through a divorce. That's the invisible.
Yeah.
Him feeling heard. No one sees that. That's not in your marketing. That's not on on your A&E show, but it's the invisible. Name one other thing you do in the invisible. Maybe other people don't know.
I could go on for hours, but here's a couple things. COVID hits and I go to my wife and your wife and my wife are becoming friends, which is cool.
Which is so cool. Yeah.
It's so fun. My wife and I are aligned just like you and your wife are aligned. And when COVID hits, I go, we're buying an Airstream. And we're going to go travel the country and meet every one of our community members in person.
Wow, so cool.
So we spent half a year going up the Western United States with my kids. And, you know, people say, how do you balance? And I go, you don't balance, you integrate.
You integrate. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
So I go, we're going on to Airstream. We're going to be at Lake Tahoe in the morning till 2:00. And then we're going to do a meetup at 3:00. And we're going to go do things together with the community members. And we're going on double dates. And I remember, you know, going up through California during COVID, you can imagine how hard it was. So we just met in parks with people.
Yeah.
And people are like, who does this? I'm like, yeah. The people who truly care. And there was a guy recently that goes, the same thing. He's like, how do I wear a hat like Pace? I'm like, I've just always worn a hat. Like, this is not a box I'm checking, dude. How would I wear a hat like you? How do I dress like you? How do I say the word you're saying? And how do I advertise the same way as you? And my team goes, Pace, this guy's ripping everything off. And I go, let him have it all. The one thing he doesn't have is the heart.
Yep.
He doesn't care about his customer. In fact, I don't call my people customers. I call them my friends. I call them my community. He calls them his forum, his audience, his fans, his followers. There's a very, very big difference. And I then see him in Puerto Rico 3 months ago. And I said, hey man, how's it going? He goes, oh, I got out of the business. You know, just, you know, wasn't going. They're just my team, this, my team, that. And
people aren't ready for it, or it's not a good time, or the economy's bad, or interest rates are
everything
up.
Else.
Everything other than, listen,
I
didn't want to serve. It's so funny. You just took the words out of my mouth. When people always ask me, tell me the secret. Why are you so good at selling? I watch you with Matthew McConaughey. We had 580,000 people live. We were in this room. We were sitting right here, right? I'm not saying that to brag, but the number one thing people ask even our friends is, team, just tell them. They're looking for a secret on how do I sell. And what I tell probably for the last maybe 5 years, I said, care more.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have an easy answer. There's no, it's not a red page or an orange page or using fall colors or wearing a certain shirt or wearing a certain set of glasses. We also know some people that are wearing glasses. Like they do all these things.
Oh, yeah.
To it's like, I don't have this magic button or what color your order page should be or drop your offer exactly at 90 minutes in. I literally say, care so much about what you're selling that you feel bad if they don't say yes.
Yeah, you actually said that in the podcast with Barry. And if you guys haven't seen that episode, go watch that episode. Go listen to that episode. It's unbelievable. And you said that with Barry and you got me excited. I'm like, he's right. This is why I'm so excited to wake up every day.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Listen, the greatest gift I wish I could give anyone is sometimes I wake up at 5 every day, right? I know you're an early riser too. But a lot of times I wake up at 3:30 or 4 and I'm like peeking. I'm like, I should just get up.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. Like, I'll be all right with 5 hours. This is a conversation. I think I'm okay with 5 because I'm excited to get up.
Right.
Because we get to serve. We get to go. And the biggest byproduct is when you get to a place where service is first, you know, the byproduct is your company exponentially grows. You can't even put a dollar figure on it.
It was interesting when I was doing the parking lot meetups and the whiteboard things and the taco parties on Fridays at my office and all that kind of stuff. I didn't have a product to sell. I didn't know I should have a product.
You didn't know
product.
You should. You were just out to serve.
I was just doing the thing. And somebody came to me and go, do you have some sort of program or some sort? I'm like, I go, no, this is it, man.
This is it. Show up next week.
Tacos on Friday, bro. We're doing deals live. Let's do the thing. And then somebody came to me and said, you should be a coach. And I go, I shouldn't be a coach. I know nothing about being a coach. And they go, look what you're doing. Nobody else cares about their customer like this. I go, the customers, these are my friends I'm doing deals with.
Yeah.
So I didn't know. And I think people that are going through and trying to check a box, Just there's one box to check. Do you want to serve your fellow man or do you not?
Yeah.
That's it.
And when you serve, yeah, I talk about it way too much. So excuse me, but I love Ogmandino's book, The World's Greatest Salesman. And scroll number two, it's this whole story about, if you don't know it, about 10 scrolls, these to just change your life. And it's really about life. It's not about sales. But scroll number two is meet this day with love. And he said, if I love my customers, I know that some of you, it's like hokey. It's like, but if I love my customers, they might not like, he said, my clothes I wear, the way I speak, the way my face looks. They might not even love my offer that day, but they'll know I love them.
Right.
So that means today I might not be able to sell you something grand for a dollar, but tomorrow I might be able to sell you a tree for a fortune because I love them and I love them. And I know that sounds a little hokey.
It doesn't.
I just don't know any other answer to give people when they say, how do you sit up there so comfortable and ask? It's like, because I know if they say yes, I get to change their life right. And I love them.
You had that. You had a comment in a previous podcast. You talked about the disillusioned fans, I think it was, what it was. And it was interesting. You made a comment how people will go make negative comments on whatever for four or five episodes or four or five posts or whatever else. And your response is my response. And it's why I'm so glad that I get to follow in your footsteps. I'm proud to follow in your footsteps. Your response was, hey man, I know you're here. I want you to know I'm here too.
Yeah.
And whenever you're ready for me to help you out, I'm here.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is the exact response that everybody needs.
And here's the thing is anybody could, I really hear this. And I mean, anybody can pick ripe fruit. Anybody could see a tree. The apples are red, pick it. The companies that scale, Tony Robbins, I feel blessed to say myself, what you're doing is there's a tree filled of green fruit. And most people go, no red ones, new tree. And I go, no, let's take care of this tree. Let's nurture this tree. Let's water this tree. Let's put fertilizer on it. Let's turn that fruit ripe. And when it's ready, it'll be time to pick.
Yeah.
And most people don't do it. They sell to emotional, spontaneous buyers.
Yeah.
That's 30%. The other 70% need nurturing. And when you truly care, it doesn't feel like a strategy. It just feels like, listen, some people go on their first date and might want to get married. Some people, you got to go on 20 dates.
Right.
I went on 30 dates with my wife before you got to take the time. And that's the difference that I think most people miss in today. And if you take anything from this today, you see the heart of sales and growing a company is service, especially in this world where everybody has access to a computer and everybody can make fake claims and everybody could go to their neighbor's Lamborghini and pretend like it's theirs, all of those things.
Yeah.
But true depth and breadth is when you go, this person gave me more than I asked for.
Right.
And truly cares.
Yeah, one of my favorite comments I get all the time is, you give more away on your free YouTube channel than I've paid $25,000 for.
Isn't that the greatest,
it's the greatest
compliment you could get?
Greatest feeling ever. And then, on top of that, I love that thing about anybody can pick a ripe fruit. Some people will come into your world a year and a half later, and what they needed is they needed to see that you believed in yourself so much that it's okay for them to believe in themselves.
Yeah, they borrow your credibility. They borrow your belief. And to go back on some of the negative comments, what I tell my team is, and that's what I was telling that story with the fruit, is the people who love you immediately, who can't sell them? And the people who are unsure, that's a great one to ripen the fruit. I task my team. It's like, I want the guy or the girl who first sees me and go, oh, that different way of thinking. Oh yeah, that jump up and down, walk on fire. I hear people say that about Tony. That's BS. I want that person 6 months to go, hey, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I had a comment on my YouTube recently and they said, whatever they said. And I replied back and I said, hey, here's my email. I want to buy you a flight, put you up in a hotel. I want you to come spend a day with me in my office. Again, doing the non-scalable things.
Yeah.
And he replied back and he's like, is this real? And I go, yeah, it's real. Send me an email. So he sends me an email. And he's like, I can't believe you replied. And I go, I can't believe you don't think I care as much as I do.
Yeah.
And he goes, you'll really buy me a flight. He's booked to come meet me in 2 weeks.
It's so amazing.
Off of a negative comment. And those are the people that you got to put the work into. And
yeah, but tell me, when you put the work into them,
yeah,
it gives you another depth of empathy, because if you just ignore them or delete that, you actually screwed that person over, because he's going to be stuck or she's going to be stuck in that train of thinking forever. And when they're 90 or 100, they're going to go, I just missed it.
Yeah, there's a domino effect. And then the other thing too is, like, think about from your existing community, right? So you have a community of people who have already bought into your vision. They've already jumped on the journey. They're helping you carry the ship to the, motherland or whatever it is. And when they see you stop and go, hey, there's a guy in the water, we need to help this guy out. It's not even about that guy.
It's one lost sheep. I'm going to get that one.
I'm going to get that one. And I show my entire community that this is what we do. This is how we operate. And
you create that moment.
You saw April of last year, that room, here's what happened. That room that you spoke at, which was such a cool event. The person who asked me to promote that event said, hey, we're going to do an 800 person room. Will you do me the favor of helping me promote this? And I said, if I promote it, I'm going to tell you, my community is going to show up. And 800 people is not going to be enough. And he says, okay, whatever. He ended up having to change the room to a 2,000 person room because I simply talked about and asked my community to show up and support me.
Yeah.
And where that comes from is us stopping and seeing that lost sheep or that rotten fruit and I going and loving on those people. My community goes, I want to be a part of that. That's more important to me than anything else.
Listen, I know sometimes when you might be listening to a podcast today, to listen to this today, and you chose to be with us, so thank you. And sometimes you're looking for the thing that you think you need. That's what I love about events. But you might actually be getting what you actually need today, because so many people try the same way other people do. I got to do this, and I got to do a podcast, or I got to do a webinar, and I got to sell this product. All of us can care. And I really believe today, if you were taking notes and if you didn't, go back and listen to this again. If you want the way to build a tribe, to build a company, to build a following, to get people to know, like, and trust you, to refer you, to buy, can't wait for the next thing that you write a book. Great. What's next? Oh, you built a course. Great. You have coaching. Great. What's next? You have a mastermind. Oh my God, I want to be a part. What's next? You're doing something in person. I'm going to be there. When you can build, this is what I say, to go from people with their arms crossed going, oh, what's this guy about, to, oh my God, this is amazing. What is this guy doing next?
And how can I help?
And how can I help? When you get to that point, you really did get the secret to scale or build your business today. And I appreciate you sharing the invisible base, because some of it is in the invisible and some of it seems like common sense to you. But some people going from career trying to go into entrepreneurship, it gets cloudy in the middle. It gets more tactical than emotional. And I think Tony says business is a spiritual game. And when you admit that, everything changes.
Yeah, I got a call yesterday from ClickFunnels. And they said, why have you never been to our event? You've been in the comma something or other thing for multiple years in a row. And I go, really? I have no idea what that is. And anybody in the information business knows that that is like the thing. And they go, you don't even know you're winning these awards? I go, no.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to win different trophies. The trophies I'm trying to win are the watching my community change their lives. I guess I didn't even know those things were going on. My team comes to me and go, hey, we're world-class in this. We're world-class in this. We're world-class in this. And they're giving me all the mechanics and the technical things. And I'm like, cool. I couldn't care any less about that. What I care about are the intangibles, the invisible items, the non-scalable items all day long. That's how you win and dominate in anything. And if you go after it with intention of like, I'm checking a box, you're going to lose.
100%. God, what a great episode. I could chat with you all day. I know in every episode we've done, asked if you had a question for me. We've been doing that since the beginning. Got anything you want to ask me? Business, personal?
You know, we when you're in this business, you know, you look at guys like you that are at the height, right? Everybody's chasing down the path that you created, right? You chopped down the jungle with a machete, you, Tony, everybody ahead of you. The question you want to ask is like, what is the gold pot at the end of the rainbow, right? What does that look like for Dean? What does Dean's I've made it moment look like, or has that already happened?
Really great question. I would say, I don't think, really great question. I don't think there is a moment. I've achieved way more than I ever thought was possible. And I think at the point I'm at now is I'm obsessed with growth and contribution. Like, I just want to be a better version of me next year. And I want it to be bigger. And I want to donate more to charity, right? I just got a thing today. We're at 13 million meals to Feeding America right now. We saved several hundred children from slavery. We built three schools in Africa. And that's not all of it. I love that's a byproduct of what I get to do. And there's a lot of things, not more things I get to do in the invisible. We're helping millions of people. We just did the biggest event of our lives. We were hoping to do 1.5 million people. We did 2.8 million people watch day one. 2.8 million people watch day one. The way my brain works is like, if you can do 2.8, I can do 5.
Yeah.
Right? I can do five. So it's not about the revenue at this point. I love the byproduct. I love that we employ hundreds of people. I love we help people around the world. It's become mission-based. It's like, if I can do this now, what else can I do? So I think there is no goal. There's no financial goal. It's just what you said. People say you're going to be a billionaire. If it happened in my life, I wouldn't know the day, nor would I celebrate it, nor would I ask. There's not a day I'm waiting for something like that to happen in my life. It's how much more can I do before I leave this earth?
Right.
So that's so I probably wasn't a crystal clear answer, except I just never want to stop growing. I want to look back every year and be embarrassed of who I was the year before. And lastly, I want to do all that. And I think this is great because I think this is the Father's Day episode. I want to do all that and still not get to the end of my life and feel like I missed it with any of my four children. Because if I compromise my wife or my four children for any of it, then I'm an ultimate failure.
Right.
So if I can find that balance, I'll go out at 90, hopefully on 90 or 100 with a huge smile on my face with no regrets, and hopefully gave our kids the skills to live a fulfilled life.
Love it.
How do people find you?
YouTube, free. Just go on the YouTube. We do crazy stuff on there. We show you guys start to finish how to do everything and how it works and all that stuff. So YouTube. And if you want to communicate with me, I answer every one of my DMs myself, which is
so amazing.
Which is crazy. People are like, how is that possible? 600-700 messages a day that come in before 8 o'clock in the morning. I answer them all myself. So if you amazing. Want, if you have a question, you need to know somebody in your local area. I can tell you the most important thing you guys will need in your journey is a good friend. And if you guys need a good friend, I have amazing people all over the country I can connect you with. Any zip code you're in, any city you're in, any state you're in, I can tell you somebody that's winning at the game of whatever real estate business, and I can connect you with them. So send me a DM and I'll help you out.
And I'll tell you right now, I was in real estate since I was 17 years old. It was my life. There's nobody in the game that teaches and cares in the real estate space like you. Nobody even close. And I know all your friends and they're all great guys, great girls, doing an amazing job. Nobody puts the invisible work in. So if real estate has ever been something you're considering, want to consider, find Pace Morby on YouTube. Appreciate you so much, man.
Thank you, Dean.
A great day. One last thing. Anyone you want to thank for where you're at in this life right now?
I want to thank John. I want to thank, the nitrous oxide thing just hit me right there. Earlier, just I want to thank the people that put me in a position to utilize that as a superpower to get through the tough time. So John, Ryan, the people that did things to me that at the time they were intentionally trying to put me down. All they did was amplify me to do what I'm doing best now.
Wow, amazing. Pace, this is amazing. I appreciate you. For those of you watching, watch this one again. Share this with somebody who needs it. Again, thank you for making Own Your Future podcast one of the top podcasts in the world. So why not subscribe, follow, share it with someone you know, and we'll see you next week.